Hey, it's Kyle Meredith, host of the Kyle Meredith With podcast, presented by WFPK at WFPK.org and the Consequence Podcast Network. It's a series that puts the spotlight on iconic musicians and actors, inviting them to drop by and talk about their latest projects, whether it's albums, TV shows, films, or beyond.
I'm going to say something I don't want to say. Here it goes. Without Spinal Tap, there is no Tenacious D.
Whoa. Man.
We get great stories and the biggest scoops from people like Garbage's Shirley Manson, the 1975's Matty Healy, Jack Black and Kyle Gass of Tenacious D, Maya Hawke, Kiefer Sutherland, and everyone in between. New episodes arrive every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones. You can find Kyle Meredith With on the Consequence Podcast Network or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, and welcome to Long Time No See, the podcast. Each week, we'll be pairing two blindfolded comedians who've agreed to sit down with a mystery guest. I'll be putting them on the spot with a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Without further ado, please remove your blindfolds and introduce yourself.
Hey, I'm Michael.
Hi, Andrea.
I have to be honest with you, I am so relieved to see it's you.
Do you have any irrational fears? What's the worst fad you were into? Is there any job that you would be terrible at?
Underwater welder?
Don't say that about yourself.
Do you guys have any useless talents?
I kicked one of those delivery robots.
What? You kicked one?
Yelling. I kick those all the time.
They have names on them.
Good.
I can make smoke come out of my mouth with nothing.
Do it.
You want to see it?
What the f***? Are you a dragon?
Out now, Long Time No See the Podcast, Season 2. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Tour set.
Hey, welcome back. I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and this is Stanning BTS.
Yes.
Yeah, welcome to another wonderful episode where we get to hang out for about an hour and just talk about BTS.
What a wonderful hour it is, too. But disclaimer, this is a comedy fangirl podcast, so that means that we're going to fangirl, laugh, and learn a little bit along the way.
Yep, that's right. This is an explicit podcast, though, so if you aren't cool with that, you can dip out now. We won't blame you.
Totally. But if you're down for some, I joined Jin Cult on Twitter and I'm never fucking looking back.
Or I streamed Epiphany for Jin's birthday
yes.
today, and damn, I'm still so in love.
Then you're in the right place. So today's episode is the third installment of the Fanfic Files.
Yay! I love this series.
Me too. It's so fun. And we're both really excited about our fics, I think, that we have.
I love mine.
I mean, I don't know about yours. I don't know anything about it.
I love mine. I picked it for a reason.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So before we really get into it, first, we just have to thank you wonderful armies for being here and for supporting us. If you're a fan of this show and you want to show your support for us, you can do that by telling people about the podcast, but also by writing a review on iTunes or Apple Podcasts. And then if you want to go like above and beyond, like seriously crazy, show us a little bit more support, then you can do that by donating monthly to our Patreon at patreon.com/stanningbts.
Or if you'd like, you can make a one-time donation at paypal.me/stanningbtspodcast. And again, your support helps us to improve the quality of our content and to continue putting out weekly episodes. Any type of support that you guys give us is super appreciated, and we're just so happy that you're all here with us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so before we get into our fanfics that we picked, we have to talk about BTS's performance at Melon Music Awards.
We have to. Like, mm-hmm. This performance is so iconic already.
It's so First iconic. Of all, I love how this podcast...
We just name things iconic. I mean, but it's
everything is iconic.
Everything is. I mean, Okay. A 20-minute performance, though. Like, that's at insane, an awards yeah. show. That is insane. Like, that's unprecedented. And, like... Okay, so during this performance, they performed Fake Love, Airplane Part 2, and Idol. But before Fake Love and, like, before Idol, they had, like, these, like, big, like, kind of, like, artsy but also, like, dance and Korean culture-filled things, like, little segments. And it was absolutely yeah. so cool.
Yeah, it was really stunning. So at the beginning, when they started with Fake Love, they started off with those cells where they're each in their own individual cell. And we mm-hmm. had seen those from some of their photos when they were coming out with Answer. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, oh my gosh, this is so cool that they incorporated this in to the Fake Love performance. And it was just so amazing to watch. Like, how I loved how it transitioned from one member to the next, how yes. they were all, you know, all the cells were dark and then some would light up and then you mm-hmm. would pop up with one member, and oh my gosh, Taeyong has red hair and Namjoon has purple hair and Jimin has a silver hair. I mean, dude, everyone just looks phenomenal.
I loved yeah. that like the transition back and forth with the lights, and then like of course Fake Love, the performance was amazing. Of course uh-huh. Airplane Part 2, the performance was amazing. But I think like the thing that most people will think about in the future about this performance is Idol and yes. the like just the whole part of Idol. So right at the beginning of it, they like first it was just Hoseok and it was like this wall of people dressed in like traditional wear in front of like traditional drums. And
yeah. And there were like different levels of people yes. and they all kind of looked like girls, but I haven't really looked that closely, mm-hmm. but it just looked like girls around him in these mm-hmm. like kind of like more traditional looking Korean dresses. And he's in the middle of it and damn,
he does like this dance, right? And the dance is yeah. so good. And somehow he, in his Hoseok way, hit every single beat with his body. And mm-hmm. then I love the way that they transition. They like, he had this red fan that all of a sudden he grabbed and like whipped high up in the air and then mm-hmm. kind of acted like he threw it. And the camera blurred, like panned really quickly over to Jimin, who thrust his hand up in the air like he just caught this red fan. And it's like, fuck. Like, it's so,
yeah,
it's,
yeah.
It's
yeah.
such a, like, creatively, it's so good. Like, it's so well put together and well thought out.
Mm-hmm. And Jimin's performance was one of the most beautiful, elegant things I've ever seen.
Seriously.
And so he's got, and just so powerful, too, because he has that fan, and he, I mean, that part where he kind of scoops his leg out and, like, leans down on the ground,
yes.
that, I was like, oh my gosh, it's so smooth. Like, he's so graceful.
And then he like points the fan at like the four different corners, and like those movements are really quick and like specific. Like, that's a really mm-hmm. powerful move. Mm-hmm. But then just like contrasted with the big like fan circle that he does, where all of the fans go up around him, behind him, and mm-hmm. he just looks absolutely fucking beautiful and
yeah.
ethereal and just stunning. And his yeah. like his jacket like slips, it's it just, shows a little bit of his shoulder,
a little bit of shoulder,
a little
it
bit
came
of
off
shoulder.
Just a little bit when he did that like fan twirl there. I'm like,
I know
mean, just God,
the audacity. Okay. And
it's like so subtle, but it's not subtle.
Like, we know, you know. And
yeah, yeah.
And then he throws it over with, he has, we really should have looked up what these dances are called, and like, but mm-hmm. we don't know.
Yeah.
But
they're traditional,
like,
Korean dances of some sort.
Yes. Yeah. So then there's like these, I'm going to sound really stupid now, like long white pieces of fabric that they hold around their hands, and Jimin mm-hmm. pulls one up, and then he acts like he throws it over to Jungkook, and then he pops up and does his yeah. dance.
It's like, it's not a streamer. I feel like there's a
no,
name for it.
There has to be.
Like a long ribbon. Mm-hmm. Thick ribbon. Yeah, but his part is, His is really powerful, and his comes off really more forceful and a little less pretty and elegant, whereas I feel J-Hope and Jimin's was a little bit more like that. And Jungkook's is just, it has so much impact and so much power and force behind every movement that he does, and he just looks so strong, and it's like so hot. But he did such a phenomenal job too.
That's like also his dance style, I feel like.
It is, yeah. Yes. Because he did like a little jump twirl in the air that I think he's done several times before. But oh my gosh, the part where all of the dancers kind of come together and he disappears, and then they like lift him up. And
he's lounging
in their arms, like on his, like his head propped up on one arm. I'm like, really?
Like, what the fuck?
And he pulls that mask over his face.
I'm
Why is this so hot?
Like, why do you, again, the audacity. Like, why do you think this is okay?
It's not.
And then when they performed Idol, they were all wearing, like, hanbok. And it's just, like, no one can say that they're all westernized. Like, you can tell, everyone, the world can tell how proud BTS is to represent South Korea and to spread South Korean and like Korean culture all over the world and just make people aware of it, and how much they put it into their music, and how much, like, I mean, they spent like half the amount of time that like Idol was performed doing like those traditional like dances and doing like basically a big huge nod to their culture and like so much that's important to them. So it was really, really cool to see. I think that I've watched that video like four times now, just like of the entire 20 minute performance.
Oh, yeah. I had a party and I made everyone watch it. That's not true. I didn't make everyone watch it. I had Amber and Sarah watch it, but I was blaring that shit. And everyone was like, what is this? This is so, everyone thought it was so theatrical.
And it's like,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I just think, I feel like people seeing this performance who don't know anything about BTS could walk into it just, and if they honestly sat down without distractions of like a phone or whatever, with an open mind and just watched it, they would be like, wow, they are really fucking talented. I understand why people make such a big deal about them. Like, they don't have to understand anything about the performance, but I know they could walk away with that. Like,
yeah. And I told you, I had Corey watch it too. And he was even like, yeah, there's no doubting their artistry and their talent when he watched it. And like, that's so not his thing, because he's like, wow, this is really extravagant. But also at the same time, he's like, this is an incredible performance. And he was even thinking about everyone else involved in these performances that they do, like all the backup dancers and everyone who has to do like the graphics behind them. Like, that was a huge part of it, especially for Idol. Like, I don't know if you looked at the lights that they had going and just like the screen on the back, like just the visuals that they put in there. I mean, that really adds to a lot of the effect. And so I was like, wow, yeah, even that is incredible.
I mean, a huge, I don't remember like the number, so I'm not even going to say it, but like Big Hit spent so much fucking money on this performance. Like,
oh, I bet.
A lot. I don't remember what it was. I saw it on Twitter like 2 days ago, but whatever. Something else that I want to mention about this is the idea that this performance is hinting to the next era. So I'm going to talk about a few tweets that I interacted with this person, Uniquely Me KC, on Twitter, and I followed them for a while. I think that they're awesome, and they like bring up really good points when it comes to like the BTS world. So they had retweeted something talking about the choreography at the end of Idol changed from Jungkook to Jin ending in the center, and they said, another comeback clue perhaps. And I was like, oh my God, we had even thought of this possibility. So they went ahead to list off like a bunch of hints that might possibly be to the next comeback from this performance. So, for example, both RM and Jimin had shirts on that said, "I'm red with love."
Mm-hmm.
Tae's hair was red. Namjoon's hair was purple. There was a phrase in the mirror in the skit, and I read where it was. It's like, you can read it backwards. Go find a picture. The mask that Taeyong was wearing in Fake Love in the intro was there. And then also the way each member was positioned in their boxes, like with Fake Love, how Jin was the one who turned on the light, and that the fact that they used that concept E, the album concept, that's the pictures you were talking about, for like the intro. Basically, they're just saying like all of this is connected, all of this is pointing to something. And I don't think that that's like that far off. I also think like maybe their hair color could be related to the upcoming MAMA Awards, just because like, we think it might be throwback, and so it would make sense for them to like do throwback hair colors.
Yeah. I totally can see that, because honestly, if this was their MMA performance, imagine what MAMA is going to be like. I mean, this kind of performance is the kind of performance that I would expect from MAMA. And I mean, not to say that these awards aren't huge too, but I feel like everyone really hypes up MAMA. Also, we had that mic drop performance with the three dance breaks from MAMA last year. And we also keep seeing that tattoo that Jimin has. So a lot of us are thinking that we're going to get a throwback for MAMA this year. Mm-hmm. But who knows? But definitely all of those things that you just mentioned for sure are hinting at the next era, especially like the who are you,
the who, like, are you. I forgot about that.
Yeah,
like the performance was called BTS Who Are You.
Yeah, and that's right.
People were saying like, if you take the first letter of Who Are You, it makes an acronym WAY, like the word way, and it would kind of make sense after we just learned how to love ourselves. If we were like finding the way to ourselves, if we were questioning who are you, like if we were finding ourselves, like go from love yourself to find yourself. I mean, I just saw from all the stuff I saw on Twitter, that's kind of the idea that I have compiled from the think tank, I guess. So like that would be really cool. That would be like such a logical progression for their music and for like their message, but who knows? We can only guess. So BTS also during this night took home a ton of awards at Melon Music Awards. They took home 2 Daesangs, Artist of the Year and Album of the Year, of course. Like, nobody was surprised by those.
Yeah. And then they also got Global Artist Award, Netsun's Popularity Award, Best Hip Hop Rap Award, Kakko Hot Star Award, and Top 10 Award.
Everywhere that I saw on Twitter, it said they won 7 awards, and like I found articles with BTS takes home 7 awards at Melon, like in the title, and then it was really, really hard to find all 7 awards. So those last 2 are what I found on 2 different websites that were not listed in other articles. So hopefully those are it.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyways.
I mean, it sounds good to me.
Okay.
Isn't it hard to, Kayla, I think one time you said we should just do an episode on all the awards they've won. I'm like, oh my God, no. God. They've won so
like
many.
Like 100,000. How unrealistic of me to suggest.
No, it was, I mean, they, I feel like it's terrible because they've won so many awards that it's not as exciting or hyped up, I feel like, where they still deserve so much hype for winning all of these. But, you know, especially Artist of the Year and Album of the Year, that's such a big deal.
For sure. But I do think that you are correct in saying that it seems like Mama is more talked about. And like, I feel like Mama is like the last big award for the end of the year. So it's like the mm-hmm. biggest awards show. So just, I mean, quickly going back to what you said a few minutes ago, I cannot wait to see what they perform or what they do. And I think mm-hmm. with having such a huge Melon award, like where it's almost like how much bigger can they make it, you know, like what yeah. else are they gonna do? So it would be really interesting if it was like all throwback focused, because that would be just totally, I feel like, unexpected.
Yeah, I would love a throwback.
Dude,
I really too. Would. Yeah. Okay. Let's go ahead and get into our third Fanfic Files episode.
Yes.
So I'm going to get to go. I get to go first this time, which okay. is exciting. So the title of my fic is called Cactus. And it's by Daesunki on AO3. And my reasoning for choosing this fic is because we had a listener named Angie, and she emailed us, and she wanted a short Yoon-kuk fanfic. And I have not gotten to read an entire fanfic on our series yet, so I thought, okay, this is the perfect time. And I decided that I also really wanted a cute, fluffy fic too, because I don't feel like I've done a really fluff one.
Mm-hmm.
But I chose this one in particular because it's just so cute and it's kind of domestic, but there's just this one line in the whole fic that had me. Like, it completely sold me on this fic. And I'm like, wow, this is too cute. This is so adorable. I'm in love.
I can't wait to hear.
Yeah. And also the title Cactus, how cute. Okay, so I'm going to read the whole thing, and if you didn't catch on, it's a Yoon-kuk fic. So, Yoongi likes cacti, so Jungkook gets him one. It sits on the windowsill of the only window in his tiny studio, resting in its little white ceramic pot as it soaks up in sunlight and the music filtering from Yoongi's noise-canceling headphones. It's usually quiet in the studio. Yoongi doesn't let anyone in when he's working, with Jungkook being the obvious exception. So Yoongi can think and come up with better lyrics, organize his thoughts, and in the comfort of his second home, which, let's be completely brutally honest here, is a perfect name for the glorified broom closet Yoongi calls his studio. When Namjoon stands in the middle of it and spreads his arms to the side on the rare occasions in which Namjoon is allowed inside, his hands easily touch both walls, brushing against posters of basketball players and self-taken Polaroids showing Yoongi and Jungkook smiling at the camera, heads pressed together over a coffee shop table in front of the ocean, laying on green grass together.
Cute.
I know. The third wall is taken up by an old sofa that barely squeezes inside the tiny room and is used as a makeshift bed for when Yoongi's eyes are burning, like he just opened them from underwater, or when Jungkook swings by and stays the night as Yoongi works. Cacti are low maintenance, Jungkook says, as he scrolls through his Twitter notifications, stretched over the sofa with his legs dangling over one of the armrests. The woman at the shop told me to water it once a month and make sure it gets lots of sunlight, so keep your shutter open. Yoongi crosses his arms over his chest, looking at the cactus from the perch in his worn-out computer chair. I still think this is a plot all to make me get more vitamin D or whatever, he warns, squinting at the bit of cloudy sky he can see from the tiny window. Is that cactus supposed to be a metaphor of me or something? Because if it is, you're implying that I'm small and prickly. Isn't that so
cute? So cute.
That's the line that I was like, okay, I love this. I love this so much.
So cute.
Oh my God, Young. Jungkook. Yoongi Young. Cookie. It takes less than a second for Jungkook to throw his phone down on the sofa, cross the room in just half a step, straddle Yoongi in his computer chair, and cup his cheeks to shut him up. You're not a cactus, he tells the elder firmly, looking into his eyes and trying to keep a straight face on, despite the fact that he's crying on the inside. You're soft and tender and sweet like vanilla mochi.
No.
Yoongi's face takes on an expression that only can be described as that of deep displeasure, but his hands slide up to curl around Jungkook's wrists. I don't know which one is worse. Shut up, Jungkook breathes. And then he's leaning down and Yoongi's leaning up, and their lips meet just when the first lightning flashes.
Oh my god, this is so cute. Like,
isn't this like overwhelmingly adorable? Like, so fluffy, so cute.
I love it. Yes, it is. What did you say? Vanilla mochi? Like sweet vanilla mochi?
Yeah.
That's so cute.
So Yoongi thinks he's small and prickly, and then Jungkook says that he's sweet like vanilla mochi.
Mm.
Soft, tender, and sweet. Mm. The storm goes on for a few more days with no signs of stopping, but Yoongi's never been happier. Storms mean staying inside and getting extra work done without having to go outside or have anyone come visit him. The sound of music and raindrops hammering against the window is the only thing Yoongi hears for a long time as he clicks away on his computer. He stays extra safe, saving his works every hour and a half in case there's a power outage, and the smell of hot coffee keeps him company. He's happy.
Then his phone rings.
Yeah. Then his phone rings, vibrating against the tabletop violently and making the entire piece of furniture shake slightly. Jungkooky, the caller ID flashes, along with a picture of Jungkook flashing a V sign and his signature bunny smile at his college graduation ceremony. Yoongi smiles as he presses the green phone button and presses the phone against his ear. He wouldn't even consider picking up if it was someone else calling, but Jungkook is a special case. Jungkooky? Young! Jungkook's voice sounds cheerful through the phone, the honorific sounding warm and familiar in his mouth. When was the last time you ate? Yoongi pauses, thinks, taps his fingers against his mouse pad, the one that Seokjin got him for Christmas 3 years ago and has since worn out immensely. Not sure, he says, guilt slipping into his voice. How long ago was 3 a.m.? There's disbelieving laughter on the other side of the phone line. Open the door, Young. What? Yoongi spins in his office chair so he's facing the door, eyebrows pressed together in confusion. The door? You didn't. Just open it, Jungkook says, and his tone is so gleeful, Yoongi finds himself springing from his chair and wrapping his fingers around the doorknob, yanking the door open forcefully to find a doused Jungkook smiling brightly at him. Surprise, the younger says, holding up a basket. Wait, hold up. Oh, my God. Surprise, the younger says, holding up a plastic takeout bag, and Yoongi hangs up. You're crazy, he gasps as he moves aside to let Jungkook in, gaping after his boyfriend as he shuffles past him. You're insane, Jungkook. How could you come here? The storm. I was worried about you, is all Jungkook says as he sets the bag down, and his tone is so simple and final that Jungkook... Yoongi shuts up immediately, feelings of intense guilt and fondness and admiration bubbling up in his chest.
Oh, that's so cute.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, you know, that's like an act of like, you know, deep love. Like if you're going to brave a storm and bring food.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and he's like drenched, which is so cute.
Yeah.
And so thoughtful. Like... I just feel that Jungkook would do that. He would bring Yoongi food because he's actually worried about him because he knows he stays up late and works ruthlessly.
Yes. And I could totally like see him using that tone of voice, like just being like, because this is how it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yoongi isn't good with expressing himself on the spot. Never was and probably never will be. That's why he writes. It's much easier to put your thoughts into rhymes and transfer them to paper, black on white, and store it inside his mini notebooks. So when he's overwhelmed with emotions, and he often is with Jungkook, he turns to the easiest problems at hand. You're soaked, he mumbles, gesturing to the small puddle already formed by Jungkook's feet, water dripping from his huge red coat onto the floor. Jungkook flushes and shifts his weight from one Timberland clad foot to the other, always so eager to make himself as less bothersome as he can. Yes! Sorry, he mutters. I can mop this up somehow. Do you have any... He's interrupted by an over...
Like what? With
he's
what?
Yeah, yeah, I know. mop, I guess.
Like, do you have any what? Like, what the fuck? You're in a studio. Like, paper towels? Yeah. I don't know.
A really small studio, too.
Really?
He's interrupted by an oversized hoodie hitting his face, effectively shutting him up for the time being. When he peels the offending piece of clothing from his face, he sees Yoongi dipping into his backpack and whispering under his breath, pulling out different clothes and tossing them over his shoulder dismissively. Young, Jungkook asks, voice hesitant, as he clutches the hoodie to his chest. I always make Jungkook sound so whiny. I don't know why. Yoongi turns to him, face slightly red as he tosses Jungkook a pair of sweatpants as well. Here, he says. The pants probably won't fit too well, but they're the biggest I have, so...
Oh my god. This is so... Okay, first of all, I thought that he was throwing clothes at him to be like, clean the floor up with these clothes. But like...
Oh, really?
But like, no, he's doing the most Yoongi thing, which is taking care of them without fucking saying anything and just being like, throwing clothes at him to be like, put these on. Oh my god. Okay. Yeah,
so sweet. It takes a moment for Jungkook to realize what that means, but then he blushes, a bright red seen only in Saturday morning cartoons. Oh my gosh, that's such a cute line. God.
Yeah.
These are your clothes, he squeaks, looking at the black hoodie and gray sweatpants in his hands questioningly. Yoongi mumbles something incoherent under his breath, cheeks flushed and his eyes not meeting Jungkook's, and the younger easily decides that this is one of the best days of his life. Or so he thought.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. There really is not too much plot to it. It's just really cute. It seems like it. The sweatpants barely reach his ankles, even when he lets them hang as low as morally possible, which makes him look like an odd mix between a teenage delinquent and an old man. Jungkook is embarrassed for exactly 10 more seconds because then he pulls up on the hoodie and Yoongi's scent engulfs him completely. A combination of old cologne and his mango shampoo. Jungkook balls his fists in the sleeves, the ends of which reach way beyond his fingertips. Yoongi loves gigantic sweatshirts and raises one of them to his nose, breathing in the scent. Yoongi's busy inhaling the dakboki he bought him. Unsurprisingly, it turns out 3 a.m. was quite a long time ago. So Jungkook takes the liberty of closing his eyes and letting himself sink for a while, leaning back against the old sofa and breathing in Yoongi's scent. He wakes up to the loud noise of thunder outside, and when he opens his eyes, the harsh light of the computer screen makes his eyes water until they get used to the brightness. It's dark outside. He's probably been asleep for a few hours, and Yoongi's tapping away on his computer, noise-canceling headphones on, and his eyes darting across the screen. Jungkook sits up, and the old blanket Yoongi sleeps with when he's at the studio slides off his torso. Yoongi must have tucked him in at some point. The thought makes Jungkook's chest warm, and he stands up, putting his hands on the elder's shoulder.
Oh, mine
Yoongi
too.
Doesn't even jump. Yoongi doesn't even jump an alarm, but he takes his headphones off and spins so he's facing Jungkook, smiling at him. Hey. Hey, Jungkook answers softly for lack of a better response. What time is it? Yoongi takes a quick peek at his computer screen. 2 a.m. You slept quite a lot, little bun. Little bun!
Oh, no! Oh, my God, that's so fucking cute.
This is so, like,
stop.
Adorable.
This is amazing.
Jungkook blinks, then frowns. This will totally mess up his sleep schedule for the next few days, he can tell. But right now, he just can't bring himself to care, bending down to lace his fingers around Yoongi's. Come sleep with me, he says, tone hopeful and eyes wide and bright. Yoongi stands no chance. He never did. Okay, he says quietly, reaching behind to turn off his computer screen before following Jungkook to the sofa. It takes a little shimmying and figuring out, but soon they settle down with Yoongi on top of Jungkook, head resting on his chest, their usual sleeping position. You're warm, Yoongi muttered, the first time when they slept this way. I like that.
Aww.
Jungkook laces his fingers together over Yoongi's back, eyes wandering over the ceiling as Yoongi's breathing begins to slow down. Eventually, they land on the cactus, standing in its white pot on the windowsill, the light of the lonely streetlight throwing one spiky side into sharp relief. It's quiet. There's the rain, an occasional thunder, and Yoongi's breathing, and Jungkook is in peace. Poor cactus, he says in the dark. All it needs is light, and now it can't even get that. Yoongi's head shifts on Jungkook's chest, moving so his forehead is against the side of Jungkook's neck. It's okay, the elder mumbles, voice deep and half asleep. By the way, he slurs slightly. It gets all the light it needs because of you.
No!
Even as the words register in Jungkook's mind, it still feels unreal. Yoongi doesn't do this. Doesn't say cheesy and cliche things, ever. He cringes when people confess on TV and rarely tells Jungkook he loves him. Jungkook's face is burning up and his heart is hammering in his ribcage, and the smile that stretches his lips is one of pure joy. He kisses the top of Yoongi's head and closes his eyes. It's cold and windy outside, but Yoongi and Jungkook have never been warmer. And that's it.
Wow. Oh yeah. My god. I love it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I love fluff. Mine is fluff too. Like, but I love it. I love the way the cactus was brought back into it. I mean, it's called cactus, but like,
yeah.
I feel like the personalities that we perceive from them, some of that was in there too, but just like with like the Jungkook volume turned up, you know, like the best part of Yoongi that could be with the best part of Jungkook, like if they were a real pair. That was really sweet.
Yeah.
I feel like the only thing I did the whole time was say ooh and ah, but that's how I felt.
I mean, I really just was covering my face the whole time and just like squishing my own cheeks. It was just so cute. But I honestly, it was hard to find a short Jungkook fanfic. Like I looked for hours really trying to find like the perfect one because I really wanted to read one all the way through. And honestly, the like really short, smutty ones are just a little bit too much for me to handle and maybe a bit too much for this podcast.
Yeah.
So I was like, I don't even mind doing fluff because it's just so amazing. And this one was just so cute. Like the whole cactus line where he says, "Are you saying I'm small and prickly?" Like the cactus is a metaphor of him. I just thought that was so cute and adorable.
Yeah, I love that. Great pick. Like,
well, thank
awesome.
You. Doesn't Yoongi seem like he'd be small and prickly?
Yes. But, like, he's not really. Like, Jungkook can see him for who he really is, which isn't a prickly person. You know, like, he's a soft vanilla mochi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Right. So, my fanfic is also on AO3. The author is Gimmy_Namjoonie. And the notes for this says, "I wrote this because I'm deprived from Namsok fanfictions and we need more of them. I'm a hardcore Namsok shipper and it's time to see the beauty in them." And honestly, yes. Like, so I wanted to find a Namsok fanfic because we did the ship episode over them and we both concluded that they were just like so bro TP, but like we both wished that there was something more out there and we were like, there has to be hardcore Namsok shippers out there. I searched for so long and I'm also going to read mine completely. But this story is called "I'm Your Sun and You're My Moon." Parentheses.
No.
Maybe we're not meant to be, but we still love each other.
Oh my god.
I know. Okay, so full disclosure.
Maybe we're not meant to be. That already makes me want to cry.
Yeah. Full disclosure. I might cry because, like, to be honest, the first time reading this, I cried, and then I read it out loud to see how long it would take, and I cried again. So, who knows?
Wow. Okay. I want to cry.
All right. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
All right. Hoseok knocks gently on Namjoon's bedroom door before slowly opening it. He peeks his head inside and looks over at his boyfriend, who's sitting on the small couch in the far corner of the room. Namjoon doesn't look up at the sound, but grunts in acknowledgement as he scrolls down the screen of his phone. Hoseok smiles gingerly and closes the door behind him, before walking over to Namjoon and sitting down next to him. He gives him a quick peck on the cheek. He can't help but feel satisfied when the other blushes a deep pimp... Or, sorry. He can't help but feel satisfied when the other blushes and a deep dimple appears on the spot where he had left a kiss. What are you doing? Namjoon just shrugs, and Hoseok leans his head on his shoulder and looks down on the phone. He notices that the Twitter app is open and that Namjoon had been scrolling through the hashtag Yoonmin. There are a lot of photos and videos of their two friends and some cute fan arts as well. Hoseok chuckles quietly. That's an unusual thing to do on your phone. Sorry, I just got stuck, Namjoon answers casually. It's a short response, and Hoseok immediately knows that something's bothering Namjoon. His boyfriend is someone who uses elaborate, philosophical, and complicated words, someone who can talk for hours and hours about clouds or nature or just anything. Hoseok knows his Namjoon, and this isn't how he's supposed to be on a good day. Talk to me about it? He says it slowly and cautiously. Namjoon is a book with thousands and thousands of pages, and it takes a lot, even for Hoseok, to find the right page for his troubles and torments. Namjoon just sits quietly for a while, grabbing Hoseok's hand gently and intertwining their fingers together. They fit like puzzle pieces. I just noticed on Twitter, or anywhere really, how much people are talking about Yoongi-young and Jimin. He starts off uneasy. How they believe that they're in a relationship. Hoseok nods slowly. He wants Namjoon to finish before he says anything. Like, there are literally hundreds of posts of them and supposedly, quote, proof to why they're dating, Namjoon continues. Then you look at us, at our names combined, Namsok. There's barely nothing. People don't see anything between us, no chemistry. I'm just the leader and you're just the funny guy. They don't like seeing us together. For them, we don't belong together.
No! Oh my god, this is sad.
I know. Like, just Hoseok just walking into the room and just a brooding Namjoon. Like, come on. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Also, that line where they wrote, Namjoon is a book with thousands and thousands of pages, and it takes a lot even for Hoseok to find the right page for his troubles and torments. Like, how beautifully written. Wow.
Like, this person is such a good author. So... Hoseok sits up and turns on the couch so he can look at Namjoon properly. He's looking down at their hands, thumb slowly stroking Hoseok's palm. Juna, he doesn't really know what he wants to say. Maybe he just wanted to hear Namjoon's name on his lips. It just sucks, Hobie, Namjoon says and looks back up at Hoseok. It annoys me seeing how our fans get all excited whenever Jimin glances at Yoongi or whenever they're holding hands or how they went absolutely crazy when they found out that they shared a bed in Malta. What about us then? We had awesome gay sex every single night. Junie, Hoseok stops him. He wants to laugh and agree that they did spend some good nights together on their holiday. But he also knows Namjoon's genuinely upset about this. We talked with Bang Siuk about this. He just wants to protect us. But that was before, right? Namjoon goes on, looking at Hoseok, and he can see the pain in his eyes. Back then, we were scared of the response of the fans and the people. I know we agreed with Bang PD not to show affection in public. I know Yoongi and Jimin agreed to show more skinship towards each other as a distraction to what was really going on between us, but Namjoon goes quiet for a few seconds. He tries to catch his breath. I'm tired of lying to myself, Hobie. The whole thing about love myself is to stay true to yourself, and I've been telling that to fans for so many years now. But in reality, I've been the one lying to myself all the time. His voice is starting to break, but Hoseok knows he won't let himself cry until he's gotten everything off his chest. I'm tired of pretending to be someone I'm not. Why do I have to act straight? Why can't I just be who I want to be in front of people? I never asked to sing those kinds of songs back then. It was all just a stupid act the company set me up to do, so I would appear like a stupid, stupid straight guy who can only think about girls all the time. Hosok's throat feels tight as he listens to Namjoon. He knows how he feels. They've been acting like nothing but friends for so, so long, and now they're almost breaking. They're breaking and falling and not acting like themselves in public anymore. That's not who they are, and that's not the image they wanted to give with their music. It was the exact contrary.
Wow.
We have international fans who love and support us, Namjoon says, tears falling from his eyes. We can come out to the world now, right? They're more accepting when it comes to homosexuality. How can we keep this up, Hobi? I feel like we're losing each other. Why am I so fucking afraid to just be who I really am? Why do I even care of what the crowd says or thinks? It's silent in the room. I feel like we're the sun and the moon.
No. No, oh.
I know. People don't think we can ever be together, but somehow it's always you I see on the horizon, shining your light on me when I'm surrounded by my own darkness. Yet no one knows you're the reason I keep... I'm fucking crying. God, yet no one knows that you're the reason I kept fighting for BTS, for our little family. Maybe we're not meant to be. Maybe we are too far away from each other, but I want to be with you forever, whether we can or not. Then Namjoon ducks his head and his shoulders start shaking. Hosok is hugging him in a second. He holds him tightly against his chest as his boyfriend's years of pain and regret have finally broken him. They've been drifting apart from each other because they can't stay true to themselves. They've been afraid of being too close to one another out of fear that people would notice something. They're scared of being together. They're scared because the public would never imagine them being together. Had they really fallen apart so much? Weren't they meant to be just like the sun and the moon? But Hosok loved Namjoon, and Namjoon loved Hosok. They always had loved one another, so maybe those few rays of sunlight connecting them was enough to keep them together. Junie, Hosok says, and it comes out as a sob.
No, now Hobie's crying.
Yes, he is. It literally, the next line is, that's just how he is. If someone he loves is sad or crying, he cries as well. But that's his way of staying strong for them, to share emotions and hopefully share their burden. Like, fuck.
No.
I know. I'm sorry. He says, I'm. And then Namjoon looks up at Hosok and starts shaking his head and stroking away Hosok's tears with his thumbs. Like, they're both crying now and they're both comforting each other. It's just too much.
Yeah.
Namjoon says, don't cry, love. I'm sorry. Please don't. Then they're just sitting there and crying into each other. Hosok easing Namjoon's worries by sharing them with himself, and Namjoon comforting and thanking Hosok for listening to them. That's how they are. The members always joke about how the two of them are the most sensible ones in the group, and the couple would always argue against it. But when you look at it this way, well, maybe that's true. They're BTS's drama queens, and honestly, Hosok couldn't really complain about being called that.
Hosok, they are, like, so sensible.
Yeah. Hosok and Namjoon fit together like no one else could. They complain together, brag about others together. They're drama queens together. They laugh together. They cry together. They are together. I love you so, so much, Hosoki. Namjoon whispers into his lover's neck, hugging him even closer. I love you too, Junie. Hosok whispers in response, always. He then pulls away and smiles brightly at Namjoon, who returns it half-heartedly, drying off his face with his sleeve. We're such a mess, Namjoon says wetly, and Hosok laughs. Namjoon's smile grows wider at the sound, and Hosok's glad to see the dimples back on his face again. Junie, I have to be honest, okay? Hosok takes Namjoon's hands in his. I want to come out to everybody just as much as you do. I'm less scared of it now than I was before. People are starting to change their minds about things, and I'm sure most of them wouldn't mind, but maybe now is not the right time. He looks at Namjoon's reaction for a second before continuing. We're at the peak of our career right now. All eyes are on us, both fans, haters, and critics, and I feel like it would catch too much attention. We have to concentrate on us at the moment, but on us as BTS. Haters would find any kind of flaw to try to push us down, but this is what we've dreamt of for a whole life, and except getting married, Namjoon mumbles. Hosok smiles fondly and sighs. Of course. He leans in and kisses Namjoon passionately, hand on his neck to pull him closer, and the other responds quickly, deepening the kiss. They pull away after a while to catch their breath. You're right, Namjoon says. Now's not the best time. But we'll be able to soon, Hosok responds. Maybe we can start by asking Jimin and Yoongi to calm down a notch with the touching. They're way too good at acting. It feels too real for me sometimes. Namjoon laughs loudly, covering his mouth and eyes becoming small, half-moon-shaped creases. My moon, Hosok thinks as he smiles brightly at his lover. My moony.
Oh. Oh my gosh.
I know.
My moony.
My moony.
How perfect.
I know. We'll make it through, he says, once Namjoon has calmed down. And you won't lose me, Namjoon. Promise. Thank you, Hosoki, Namjoon whispers back, smiling, for everything. They'll make it through together.
Wow.
Yeah.
Kayla, that one was so great.
I searched forever, so thank you, because I really wanted to find one that, like, did Namsok some justice, and I read so many yesterday, and this one, I mean, I just cried while reading it again. Like, it is so, it's just the way that it's written, it's so real, and you can really connect with that, like, emotion, and I love it.
Definitely. And again, it's very much them, like the way that they're behaving and interacting with one another. It's like realistic.
Mm-hmm. Especially with like Hosok crying because Namjoon is crying because he just like wants to share some of the pain for him, like take some off. And that's like such a Hosok thing. Like
it is.
I mean, that's piece of peace, right? Like that's Hope World.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. I love how one of her additional tags is crying. Crying.
Angst fluff. Namsok is real. Crying. God.
Wow. I loved it. The title.
I know. The title, really. That's why I kept it a secret from Bethany. I'm your sun and you're my moon. Because, like, sun and the moon was such a big thing. Like, that, during the Namsok episode, the thinking about them as the sun and the moon is the only thing that I was like, yes, I fucking love them.
Especially with Mono being released, like now I really just picture Namjoon as the moon, and especially with like Moonchild and everything, really.
Yeah. So I commented on this person's thread on AO3 and let them know how much I loved their story and that it made me cry and that I was going to put it on this podcast. So if you're listening, Gimme Namjoon, thank you so much for your story. We loved it.
Yeah, yeah. I should definitely comment on Daesunki. Like,
dude, yes, you should.
They did a really great job.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll comment. The cactus was just too cute. I can't get over how adorable it was.
I loved it.
But we both chose super fluff stories.
Well, you know what? Like, I feel like the first fanfic files was super fucking dirty, so... I think
yours was dirty.
Mine was so
kind of fluff.
And which is like so not like me. So yeah, here's the fluff. Here's what I needed to feel in my heart and soul today was fluff.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
So
well, we hope that you all enjoyed the third fanfic files, and cried with us and oohed and awed over everything.
Laughed with us, yeah. If you enjoyed this episode, again, thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting us. We would love to hear from you. We want to connect with you. We want to hear your feedback about these stories. We want to hear about any other amazing fanfics that you love so much, your favorite ones. We want to hear about everything that you have to say with BTS. You can contact us on our Gmail, on our Twitter, on our Instagram, on our Facebook. Follow us, DM us, email us, whatever. We want to talk to you. We want to connect. So do that. And also, again, if you want to support us in another way, you can do that on our Patreon or on our PayPal. And you can find links for all of that social media as well as our Patreon and PayPal links in the description.
In the description. Thanks for listening and thanks for stanning BTS.